notebooks would just fill up in the course of a couple of meetings.
She did that on the...
Okay. I will open the Senate Committee on Rules for March 31st, 2009. Boy, this is a good PA system. As soon as she gets back. Would the committee administrator please open public hearings on both SB 326 and SB 353, because I believe they're related.
So if you please give an overview of both bills.
I'll do. And the page is bringing around the list of signups. Senate Bill 326 will allow a voter to nominate candidates from both a major political party and a minor political party for offices to be filled at general election. It does this by repealing ORS 254.069. In your packet, you have the statute being repealed and also a copy of the original House Bill 2614. You also have testimony in favor from Dan Meek and Seth Woolley, who will present his testimony today, and a request from Sal Peralta, who supports the bill, who would like to present his testimony tomorrow in writing. Senate Bill 353 will reduce the number of signatures required on a certificate of nomination made by individual electors.
Okay. Senator Metzger, would you like to address the committee from here, or would you like to...
Well, I can just do it from here, if that's okay, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing these bills today, 326 and 353. I believe that they address what is a very, very unfair process, and I believe really undemocratic process that we have in Oregon that we enacted in 2005. And I just wanted to review for the committee members a bit of what happened then and what has happened since, and what these two approaches might do. House Bill 2614, you may remember, colleagues, was primarily a reaction to the 2004 election, in which some folks alleged that members of the Republican Party and others were deliberately going to a convention to nominate Ralph Nader to spoil the 2004 election. And that was kind of how this originally started from the proponents, that it wasn't fair that people would be participating in this, having participated in all likely in the primary election. The reaction and the result of it, though, was like taking an elephant gun to a fly here. And as you'll notice from the original House Bill 2614, it deals with that issue of the nominating convention, but it also deals with any signing of a petition which affects those who do not wish to be a member of a political party, the unaffiliated voters, of which there are approximately 480,000 in Oregon. And effectively, what 2614 did, among others, and maybe in some of the testimony you'll hear some of the other issues that it has raised, but it basically denied a half a million of Oregon voters from running for any major office or, in fact, signing the petition to find someone else to run. As we remember, then Senator Westland, in an attempt to run for governor, spent an enormous amount of money trying to achieve the signatures necessary under 2614, but because of the restrictions, that was a real hurdle to reach and would only be accessible, if achievable at all, by someone with an immense amount of money. Because you would have to identify the very specific people who didn't vote in the primary and go literally to their houses and ask them to sign a petition. If you also notice under the legislation, and it's also now in ORS, what 2614 did, if someone were wishing to run for our office or governor's office or any of the other offices, that they can't even begin this process until after the primary election, and they have to have it all completed and have all the necessary signatures by 70 days before the general election. I mean, it's easier to, much easier to refer an action of this legislature than it is for someone to go out and identify people who didn't vote in the primary and try to achieve that. I believe that especially those who wish not to be a member of a political party should have at least a reasonable opportunity to be able to achieve the signature process and get on the general election and compete. And just because they don't want to be a member of a party, we should not deny them through legislation all reasonable efforts to be able to run for elective office. Now, I'll give you a couple of examples of what we're trying to do. I tell you that I favor more strongly Senate Bill 326, which essentially overturns what we did in 2005. It passed the Senate 18-12. And overturns that and restores the original language. It's tough enough already to be an unaffiliated and get on the ballot, but the repeal would at least give them a fighting chance. The other approach is Senate Bill 353, and I think you'll hear some testimony on this. What this one does is reduces, it keeps 2614 intact, but it reduces the number of signatures that you are required to get in that very narrow window. And at the very least, colleagues, even though I support the repeal and would hope that you would be supportive of that, this one is strictly a fairness issue. What we did in 2614 was reduce the available number of electors who could sign your ballot. And before 2614, and in fact still now, 1% of those who voted in the presidential race are the number of signatures that are required to run. Under the old system, you had months and months to do this. Now you only have literally a couple of months to achieve those signatures. But I will give you an example. In the most recent presidential election, which will set the standard now for the next election cycle, 1,845,251 Oregonians participated in the vote for president. So 1% of that will now be the new standard for an independent wishing to run and not affiliated. But in the
statewide office,
for any office, state representative, state senator, it's 1% of your jurisdiction. But if you're running for a statewide office, it would be 1% of the whole state. It'd be 1% of your district in that same category. But those who returned a partisan primary ballot were 999,978, 22 people shy of 1 million. And so you have taken a million of those 1.8 million people out of the eligibility pool, but you're still applying the 1% to the gross number of 1.84 million, even though you have then taken away more than half of those people from even having the ability to sign. So at the very least, what Senate Bill 353 does is since you've taken half the eligible people away from being able to sign that, you should lower at least by half, and you may hear from others that it should be more, the number of signatures that are required, since you are applying the standard to a number of electors who are not eligible to even sign your petition. So, Mr. Chair, that is the issue. I know from my experiences in the last year talking to a couple of our colleagues who voted for this bill, now 2614, now strongly oppose it. I think it's time to look at that again. I don't think we should deny 500,000 Oregonians the opportunity to participate in the electoral process.
We'll go to questions for Senator Metzger a little bit later. Would you please come forward? Okay. I've opened the hearing on both. He can actually speak to both. If you could, Mr. Woolley, if you could speak to, just for the record, so the record is clear, to 326 first and then to 353. Please identify yourself for the record.
Well, Honorable Chair, Senator Devlin, thank you for this opportunity to speak to these two bills, and thank you, Senator Metzger, for introducing them. I'm Seth Woolley, Secretary of the Pacific Green Party of Oregon, and their 2008 candidate for Secretary of State. I'm actually going to talk about both at once because I prepared a statement that kind of jumbles them. One of the reasons I entered the race was because former Senator and current Secretary of State Brown promoted through this committee in 2005 House Bill 2614, which I hear she's now actually neutral on. So that's interesting. The Venn Bulletin summarized HB 2614 when endorsing Senator Metzger's run for Brown's current office justly. Quote, it was a blatant act of self-interested partisanship from Democrats and Republicans to keep third-party candidates off the ballot and weaken the power of voters to sign petitions. Before the law, any registered voter could sign a petition to get an independent candidate on the ballot. Now, if a voter takes part in a partisan primary and signs a petition for an independent candidate, the signature doesn't count. End quote. The issue here to me is one of freedom of association. The state is saying that it is wrong for me to sign a petition if I voted for any candidate in a party's nomination process, even if I abstained from participating in that portion of the election.
Okay.
Even if the party doesn't want to restrict that right of mine. In essence, it captures cases where nobody has violated one person, one vote. Not only that, as an elected administrator of a minor party, I am unable to allow, by state law, a registered member to participate in my nominating convention, even though I may have no idea that they have returned their ballot from when they were differently registered before. Really, this is a symptom of a much larger problem. The state of Oregon tells everybody that you can only be a member of one party at a time, completely in violation of the principle of freedom of association. Why am I not free to associate with the Green Party and the Libertarian Party, both if I agree with protecting the environment and personal civil liberties? That state interference with democracy and single-party registration should be abolished. Thanks to this reckless contortion of state interference and personal association, candidates have chosen a roundabout way to get nominated, by creating a minor party. Greg Kifori's 2008 Peace Party statement was just an I love cuddly Ralph Nader speech. It did not lay out a vision of a long-term party. Now all independents will be creating minor parties for the incentive of getting a whole extra page in the pamphlet, as well as getting their candidate on the ballot with no restrictions and signatures that may be gathered. While I agree with both proposals, I favor repeal first. The reduced signature counts bill needs amending to be, I think, 1/10 rather than 1/2 the number required. The reason I prefer direct repeal over or in addition to reduction of signature counts is because many candidates, independent or otherwise, gather support from across existing parties and may not find any support in so-called registered non-affiliateds, which tend to eschew strong support of any candidate. They have to also ask if they are registered with the independent party or just non-affiliated, furthering mass confusion. In addition, reducing signature requirements doesn't actually correct Section 2.3a of the current law that applies to minor parties, so it doesn't actually fix the whole bill. In summary, it's a complete violation of freedom of association that says that marginally attached interest groups allied with existing parties now have to completely give up supporting their preferred candidate when a better one appears. I implore this committee to act without delay in promoting both bills to the Senate floor for a vote to repeal the grand mistake that was 2005 House Bill 2614. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Wallman? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for appearing here today. I see no one else signed up. Are there any questions for Senator Metzger in these two bills?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Senator Metzger, if I heard you correctly, you prefer the bill that would repeal this?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I think sometimes, as perfect as we are, sometimes in this process we make a mistake. And I think this bill was a mistake, and I would tend to prefer the repeal bill as well. I think the other one is unnecessarily complex, and it really is it only confuses things more, I think.
Okay. Thank you for that comment. We will keep this hearing open in terms of written comments. I'll just keep it open till Friday at noon. Obviously, someone can send comments on bills that will go into the file anytime they choose to, but in terms of the record of this hearing, I'll just keep it open till Friday at noon. Next week, we will be meeting Tuesday evening, and we'll probably be meeting Friday. This Friday we will be meeting. I will know tomorrow morning, hopefully by before 10 a.m., whether we are going to have a session on Friday. If we don't have a session, we'll be at 10 a.m. If we do have a session, we'll be at the normal time, 1 p.m. So people that can plan after next week, we're going to take a week off from Tuesdays because other committees need to have evening meetings also, and I'm under not as many requirements as other committees to get all the work done by April 28th or 27th, depending on the committee. So just for the record, we'll meet Friday, and then next week we'll meet Tuesday and Friday, but the following week we'll meet just Friday. Anything for the good of the order? Thank you all for coming. This system, I almost feel like I shouldn't breathe because you can... It picks up literally every... It gives the Judiciary Committee the feeling it has too much power, is what it does. With that, we are adjourned, and I close the public hearing on both bills.
Again, keep this sound system. Would you please separate me from Jake?